in doing what we call spiritual time or spiritual night. And when we first started doing this, I mean, we did it at night, and it went long. And it was like my team that started at, you know, five, they got up at 5 in the morning. I mean, by the time it was over, everybody was just so wiped out. And we said, well, we gotta change that. So we changed it to the morning time. And so that was good. Didn't have as many people, but, you know, that was good. And I'm not sure why we changed that, but, you know, probably, you know, turnout. And so then we started doing it like at the end of the first day, like around 5 o'clock or whatever. And normally we have a pretty good turnout for this. And, you know, today's a little different. We're not used to, we don't have a lot of people here because of what's going on. I understand that the restaurant's closed and, you know, all of this. The other thing about tonight is that Brenda was supposed to bring the message tonight, and she was going to bring it via Zoom. Well, as you know, Brenda went to the hospital yesterday, and her surgery went well. I just checked in with Rick and found out that she is not going to get out of the hospital today. There's some, you know, pain in her shoulder. It's apparently normal or whatever. So I just make sure that we continue to pray for her and Rick, and, you know, that she recovers quickly and all that. So I was kind of thinking about, okay, what am I going to share with you? Because I want to share something. And I decided to ask Santi and a couple other people, and I said, what if I share a little bit about this book that I've been asked to write, The Monday Morning Christian? And so I'm going to actually read the introduction of this book that I wrote. And what I'd like to have from you guys is a prayer for anointing and inspiration as I'm writing that, because I'm going to start writing this on June 1st. Memorial Day is my cutoff day. I wrote a devotional, I wrote a youth book, and so I'll get those done by Memorial Day, and then I'm going to jump right into this. This is going to be my next project. So I want it to be as good as it can be, and I want as much input as you're willing to, you know, give me. So I thought I would share that with you, and so maybe it will trigger some thoughts in your mind about how you're showing up as a believer. And if you're not a believer, then, you know, you've probably been influenced or impacted or maybe even offended by somebody who said that they were a Christian. You know, there's a real thing that the elephant in the room is that there's a lot of religious jerks out there, and they're legalistic, and I was one of those people. And so, you know, what's this Monday Morning Christian all about? How do you live out your faith in a way that honors God and builds the kingdom, right? So that's what this is going to be all about today. But let me start with prayer. And Father, we just praise you and thank you tonight, Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father, that you have saved us. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you. Lord, you created us. You made us. You know what's best for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Give us the faith and the strength to be strong in you, to live out your word, and to live out this faith without being a religious jerk, and at the same time without being weak, and to be strong. So give us the right balance. We lift up Brenda to you. We just ask you, Father, for a super quick healing. She's been through so much over the years health-wise. We just pray for a speedy recovery. We pray for Rick, and pray that he'll just do well with this. And so we just lift both of them up to you. Thank you, Father, for the love and the the prayer and the support and encouragement that they have given this community, that they've given me in this community. Thank you for, thank you also for the their powerful testimony, Father. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a phenomenal testimony to you. I also want to pray for everybody in this room, everybody at this conference, everybody who is listening online, and our entire membership, Father, the entire inner circle, that you would help us to be the person that you created us to be, to do the things that you are calling us to do, and to have the life that you have called us to have. Pray that you anoint this new work and give me wisdom, give me inspiration, give me discernment, and just pray that you would send the folks along the path here in this book, and that it would have a big impact on many, many people and business around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as a reminder, I shared with you guys that my publisher asked me to do this, and so I just sat down and I started writing out, wrote out the introduction and the outline of this book. So I'm just going to read it to you, and again, I'd like to have your feedback and, you know, any questions that you have. We're not going to stay here long because I know that, you know, you guys want to go eat dinner and all that stuff. You can do that tomorrow. You can send me an email. You know, tomorrow I'll probably be in a better frame. I've been up since 3:20 this morning. And so I'm just physically not able. But tomorrow I'm going to be fired up, and I want to connect with as many of you as I can and all that good stuff. So give me your feedback. And tonight, let me go ahead and say this too, that tonight, when you're together, love on one another. And, you know, there's no reason for us to get into religious arguments and all this kind of stuff. You know, Jesus said there's only two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. And the fact is, as business owners, we have a lot of visibility out there, and you have a lot of influence in your team members' lives and in the community and with your customers and vendors and all that. So your walk as a believer is really important. It's really important. People are watching you. Many people have been hurt by religion. It's not biblical. It's not what God intended. And a lot of people don't know the scripture, so they don't really know what Jesus said or did or what the disciples did or didn't do. And, you know, they just heard stuff. And, oh, it shouldn't be this way. Well, have you studied the scripture, you see? And there's a lot of religions, and I don't know if I'll put this in this book or not, but I probably will. But my opinion is that one of the biggest roadblocks to Christianity, the faith, is Christian religion. I hate to say that, but it's true. So if you have the, if you have that label, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, then, you know, we have a responsibility. And we have to understand that we have influence. I know you have more than you probably realize you have. And that's the other thing that I want to do, is to strengthen people, strengthen believers through this. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. All right, the Monday morning Christian, how living out your faith in business leads to phenomenal success. The Sunday morning Christian is a term, a label that describes a person who acts one way at church and another way the rest of the time. Maybe you're not that kind of person, but you want to live out your faith at work and honor God in the process. The problem is the business world often presents trials and temptations that test your faith in God. Whether that be dealing with difficult clients or employees, pressure to be unethical, to grow in your business in a highly competitive worldly environment, your faith will be tested. As a believer, you might think you can't fully live out your faith at work due to the pressure to conform to the ways of the business world. This can make you feel guilty, weak, and even regretful that you missed ministry opportunities at work. Some business owners may even feel that making money itself is evil and they shouldn't strive to make a profit. I understand. I felt the same way. My business was only 3 short years old when I came to know the Lord in December of 1987, to be exact. My newfound faith was met with a joy I've never felt before, and I became a zealot for the ways of God, and I wanted everyone to have what I found. I preached at anything that moved. I carried a big fat Bible around, even to business lunches, always looking for an opportunity to slip the gospel into the conversation. The stronger my religious spirit became, the more I felt I was supposed to be in full-time ministry. I thought building a business was squandering the opportunity to reach the world for Christ. And boy, was I wrong. Fortunately, I realized that my business is my ministry. If you haven't realized it yet, your business or your full-time job is your ministry too. The truth is that operating your business with a strong faith can be a powerful force for God's kingdom and a phenomenal testimony to others. Plus, it can produce a success that outshines building a business in your own strength by far. No, this isn't the prosperity gospel that you probably heard before. It's a way of leading, living, and loving that's not possible without the power of God. Several years ago at a leadership conference in Puerto Rico, I got to spend time with the spiritual giant Dr. Henry Blackaby. With his white, woolish, flowing hair and a thundering voice, reminded me of Charlton Heston playing Moses in the movie Ten Commandments. His powerful presence was palpable and intimidating from the pulpit as well as in private conversations I had with him over a three-day period. The man who has counseled 4 sitting presidents and who mentors CEOs and companies that do a minimum of $100 million a year shared a great deal with me about leading with God's presence in the marketplace. In his book, Spiritual Leader, he makes this statement: leaders who know God and know how to lead in a Christian manner will be phenomenally more effective in their world than the most skilled and qualified leaders who lead without God. His persistent, consistent challenge to every believer in response to practically any question is find out what God is doing and join him there. Since I'm doing this, I'm reading this verbally, let me say it like he said it. Find out what God is doing and join him there. That's how his voice sounds. He sounded just like that. My colleague Rick Jones was with me on this trip. Rick was previously with the Dale Carnegie Institute for 33 years and owned the award-winning Houston franchise for 20 of those years. Needless to say, Rick is a wise, experienced leader. The reason we were traveling together was to evaluate whether he wanted to join my team or not. At the appropriate time, he asked Dr. Blackaby for his advice. How do you think Dr. Blackaby answered his question? Find out what God is doing and join him there. Rick saw God doing a lot in our community, and he joined the team. And God has been working in our community through Rick for almost 9 years now. Find out what God is doing and join him there shouldn't be so profound, but it is. Why don't we automatically think that way as believers? Is it because we've erroneously separated the activity of business from the activity of God? As a business owner or a leader, you can have a profound influence in other people's lives without being a religious jerk. People spend the majority of their time at work today. As believers who are in business, we have an amazing opportunity to be a phenomenal testimony to team members, clients, vendors, and associates. We have an incredible opportunity to build up the kingdom of God and destroy the dirty deeds of the devil. We have a unique opportunity to live a joyful, miraculous life every day. And we have a phenomenal opportunity to leave a legacy of wisdom for our family members and team members so they can be, do, and have the life that God created them to have, so that they can also leave a legacy of their own. I've seen God show up in powerful ways over the past 36 years as a business owner and as an international business coach for almost 24 years. I've been a believer for over 3 decades, and I've studied and pondered God's word every day since. But writing this book was not my idea. My publisher told me that he has always wanted a business author to write this book and felt I would be the perfect person to do it. I am honored and humbled. When he shared the idea, my mind and my heart immediately began to burst with passion and purpose to bring this message to believers who want to experience success while still honoring God. I love God and I have a heart for business owners because I've experienced the thrill of victory as well as the agony of defeat. I've experienced just about every trial imaginable as a business owner. And I've had a front row seat to the challenges of our business owner clients in over 100 different industries in 20 countries. The goal of the Monday Morning Christian book, study groups, and workshops is to help you and your team strengthen your faith every day of the week so that you can fulfill your God-given potential and purpose. You can experience God's power and provision without being rude and arrogant and without being weak and overwhelmed as Sunday morning Christians tend to be. God wants you to be strong and courageous, wise as a serpent, yet gentle as a dove, as you share the truth through love and build up the kingdom of God. This book contains 4 parts. Part 1, authority. Who are you supposed to be? Part 2, influence. What are you supposed to do? Part 3, success. What are you supposed to have? Part 4, legacy. What are you supposed to give? So chapter 1 is you have authority. Chapter 2, you have power. Chapter 3, you have influence. Chapter 4, you have gifts. Chapter 4, you have health. Chapter 6, you have a calling. Chapter 7, you have a future. And chapter 8, you have a legacy. Yeah. All right. So send me your feedback. And ideas, scriptures, you know, whatever you want to send me. The Monday Morning Christian. And the subtitle is How Living Out Your Faith. Oops. I accidentally hit on my note on phenomenal opportunities. I don't want to get started with that one because there's a whole list. Uh-oh. Fill up, power up, wake up, get up, dress up, step up, show up, grow up, level up, make up, scale up, grow up, keep your head up. And as Zig Ziglar said, you know, he said, I heard that you retired. He said, no, you heard wrong. He said, I got refired. I'm not retired, I got refired. He said, in fact, I'm not gonna ease up, let up, or give up until I'm taken up. In fact, I'm just getting warmed up. Maybe about 77, still saying that, you know. Let's see. The subtitle, How Living Out Your Faith in Business Leads to Phenomenal Success. So in this book, one of the things I'm gonna explore is that, you know, I mean, why would Dr. Henry Blackaby, who is around all these financially successful people, they're running $100 million plus companies, that's the minimum to get in this mentoring group, and that he and his son do, why would he say that people who lead in a Christian manner are phenomenally more successful than those who don't? Right, because there's more to success than true success, phenomenal success. The financial piece is just one part of it. You know, But I'm going to explore some, a lot of, you know, things around money. I mean, is it okay to have money if you're a believer? You know, is it, you know, because there's a lot of scripture that people get hung up on when it comes to money. So anyway, so that's coming, and I'll write this summer, and hopefully by the end of the year, it'll be, I don't know, maybe it'll be out by the end of the year, I don't know, but I'm going to get it written and get it to my publisher. So if you have some ideas for me, send them to me. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so just a question, slightly unrelated, but sort of related.
Okay.
A lot of speakers and a lot of people who have communities, I want to say similar, but not like this community.
Yeah.
Leave the subject of God and spiritual talk and everything completely off the stage. Elected not to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So did everybody hear the question? Okay. So the way that I see this is that, and I think this is really important for people to understand. This is in chapter one. This is right out of the gate. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion that you can set over here and you go about the rest of your life and do your seminars or whatever. And it's a faith, but it's more than that. And it's a relationship, but it's more than that. It's who you are. The problem is that people don't understand that when you believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob created you, and we fell into sin, became separated from God, that when you believe on him and you believe in Jesus Christ, that at that moment you become transformed into another person. Right? So you become a new person. You become a new creature. You are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. I wrote a book called Think and Be Phenomenal, and the last chapter of it has 73 scriptures. 73 that I found on my own study over a few years that have to do with your identity in Christ. So what's going to happen to people who don't know who they are? What's going to happen to you if you don't know who you are? You're going to do some nice things. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to give some money. I'm going to, you know, whatever. That's religion. And nothing wrong with good things, but who are you? We got to understand who we are as believers. You got to understand your identity in Christ. And most Christians that I've met don't understand that. Somehow they just haven't gotten that. You are a new creature, a new person spiritually, and then the only way to transform the rest of you. So there's a difference between salvation, like when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we believe in him, that means embrace that truth, accept his word, even if we don't feel like, you know, doing what the word of God says to do, that whatever, that we're changed spiritually. From that point to the point of death is sanctification. Because every day your flesh is fighting against the spirit. But now if you don't know Christ, then you just do what you do. It's just, this is who I am. I mean, what does it profit us to not know him, not have a relationship with him, not be transformed, and just check all these boxes over here? No. In fact, I made a conscious decision. I would rather see have somebody see me and think I was a sinner and find out that I was a believer than the other way around. Act like a believer, and you should act like a believer, but I'm saying act all religious and they find out one. He's kind of messed up. You know what I mean? That's going to require a pot, probably, but, you know, we'll get to that.
Hey, Howard.
Yeah.
Just look at the disciples.
Okay, look at the disciples.
Were they perfect?
Were they perfect? No, they were not.
Far from it.
Far from it.
And Jesus chose them.
Jesus chose them. This is like one of those, preachers where they're translating. I'm a translator. Okay. But what happened to those disciples? Okay, I'm going to leave you with one thing because I know some of you need to go. But what happened to those disciples who were imperfect? They became filled with the Holy Spirit and God used them to do some amazing things.
Yes.
Change the whole world. Change the world. I don't know how much I want to get into this, but all of the Christian religions of today, all of them, not some, all of them, are incomplete. Yeah, and well, actually, we're complete in Christ. We're complete. But the early church, if you go back and study church history, and you find out that after 300 years, at 350 AD, Constantine, the Roman Emperor Constantine, had some vision in a battle, and he decided to make Christianity, which at that time they were oppressed, they were killed, they were, tortured. That's coming again, probably in this country. But all of a sudden, he said, okay, well, this is going to be the state religion, and it was perverted. That's the word I'm looking for. Every Christian religion that we have today, perverted. I mean, you read the church's history, and half of the stuff that they say that actually happened didn't happen. You got to know church history. You got to know the scripture. So the first split happened in 350 AD, I guess it was. And, because they were arguing about doctrine. And if you read the book Constantine, you find out that people who were the bishops at that time, they started jockeying for power. Now, man, we're accepted now. Let me get my people, let me get my territory. Read the book, Constantine. What was totally cool is that I read the book Constantine while we're in Greece. I mean, what a perfect place to read the book Constantine. It's in Greek, you know. So, okay, I got 1 minute left. Who has my last question? Yes, sir.
Do you feel like when you find Christ in faith, does that lend effect also in your life? You look at people differently, you look at yourself differently?
Yes. In fact, I have come to believe, based on Scripture, so if you decide to have your own opinions, religion aside, if we decide to have our own opinions that don't match up with Scripture, then we're going to have a whole other problem, because then who knows the truth? I mean, the beautiful thing about Scripture is that the New Testament was written in probably the most perfect language that was ever written. It was written in a form of Greek. I don't know the name of it, but there was no mistaking what something meant. For example, In John 17, 3, I think it is, Jesus was praying to the Father. He said, this is eternal life, that is to know God and to know his Son, Jesus Christ. And that word in the Greek, to know, means to know intimately, to have a relationship with him. Not to know about, not to just follow a bunch of things, okay? And so what I have come to believe from Scripture is that there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who know Christ and those who don't. And the reality is that people who know Christ have the Holy Spirit inside of them, but we don't choose to allow the Spirit to live through us. See? What's that? Yeah, it quenches the Spirit. Because you're trying to, even religiously, you're trying to live out the flesh, right? A guy by the name of Bill Gillum said that great works that he did, and he said that the Christian life is not difficult. Living the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. Because there's only one person who's ever lived it, and there's only one person who lives it today, and that is Jesus Christ living through you, through the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. That's where the power is. All right? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, we'll continue this conversation tomorrow.